Welcome. This is the debut of the Forum for World Peace with Marsha McMahon. And this is a forum for discussing issues of world peace, in particular the channelings of Princess Diana and her work for world peace affecting the Middle East. The Forum for World Peace with Princess Diana will feature channelings from Princess Diana concerning world events. Then come our featured guests from many metaphysical subjects ranging from earth changes, prophecy, angels, world peace, spirituality, and many other authors and psychics. Marsha, that's me, I'm Marsha McMahon, will answer your questions about world issues from Diana, starting in later shows. We welcome all peace workers and want to hear what you're doing for world peace. We want to mention that Princess Diana prefers to work with questions pertaining to world peace and the prevention of terrorism, and she does not wish to take tabloid-type questions, i.e., questions that may be concerning the royal family or anything you might have read in the tabloids. She prefers to work on world peace issues, and she wants to know what love she has for mankind right now. So, with that being said, we have a very special show lined up for you today, and we want you to stay tuned because we are giving not only tribute to John Lennon on this debut show, because it is the anniversary of his 25th transition to spirit, 25 years gone from the earth plane, but both Bob Murray, our featured guest, and myself have had the great honor of hearing from John Lennon in channeled messages. And Bob is working on a very special project with John, creating music from the other side. And I know that this is true because I've received many channeled messages from John, and he asked me to step in and contact Bob. Now, Bob also channels Princess Diana and has brought through many messages that are just simply astounding about Diana's relationship to me and our work for world peace. By the way, I want to quickly mention I have a gifted intuitive channel for both Princess Diana and Mother Teresa, channel John Lennon and Jesus and many other masters and guides. My newest book is titled With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, and it is currently on sale for the holidays. You can pick this book up through my website, and I'll give you that website. It is www.angelfire.com/mb2/small-diana_speaks. The title of the website is Diana Speaks to the World. It's on Angelfire. If you have a little trouble reaching it, you can also go to the blog in BBS Radio, and there will be a posted radio show program called Forum for World Peace, and you can get right to the website from that posted message there. Before we begin with Bob Murray, I want to read some messages from a very quick message from Diana concerning her relationship to John. And we are opening, by the way, with music that is inspired. Bob feels it's inspired from John's latest music that he's been producing on the other side with George Harrison. And this particular piece that we're opening with is called The Amazing Diana. Now, I believe the reason I made the connection to John was because I first was channeling Diana. I've been channeling Diana for about 5 years, doing a weekly message on world peace that has to do with the prevention of terrorism on American soil. And it is all about the diplomacy in the Middle East, and these messages have been forwarded on to the appropriate diplomats that Diana knew in life, and they were very grateful for this message. Before I read Diana's message, I want to give a very warm welcome to Robert Murray, author of The Stars Still Shine, An Afterlife Journey. Bob, are you with us there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm right
Wonderful.
Here. Thank you.
It's so great to talk to you finally after all these years of knowing you through the Internet, Bob. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Wonderful. And the first piece of music that is being played is The Amazing Diana, I believe, right?
Something like that. I think it's Remarkable Diana, but
Remarkable,
that's close enough.
Yeah. And so basically you've been working on this project for, I guess, about maybe 6 months or 9 months or something like that?
Something close to that, yes.
Mm-hmm. And we want to get into all of that, but for just more or less acquaint our readers with all of this wonderful light work that's going on between John Lennon and Diana and everything, would you mind if I read her weekly message before we begin our interview, Bob?
No, not at all. Go right ahead. I think it's a good idea.
Okay. We'll give people a better idea of grounding here. This was the message I received from Princess Diana yesterday. I do a weekly message, and this is dated December 10th. And I am M, and she is C. Marcia, hello, Diana. I'm here for you today if need be. Diana, darling, we ask you to rest for the rest of today on our brief message. We are thrilled for you with your debut with both the show and John's wonderful music. You've no idea how much this means to John Lennon, who is a dear friend to me here. We are always happy when others are happy, and I will bring in my peace solutions on your show, and all will hear this fine work you have done. And with some 400 or so messages, there will be plenty of time to explore our work together and to acquaint people with my work for peace for the Middle East. So keep up the great work you do each day for peace. We so wish to stress that Christmas is a special time of spiritual light and Christ consciousness, and we celebrate the tiny infant Jesus who came into this troubled world so helpless, cold, and hungry, that there are many helpless children in the world today, and that if people knew the suffering of children everywhere, they would want to do more for them. So Mother Teresa and I ask a little of time, your time this season, to stop and give to the Red Cross or to any other respectable charity, and to also look into your fine book for world peace with love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, by Marcia McMahon, for this one message can totally prevent another terrorist attack upon your beautiful country, America. We ask for all light workers to support my channel in her most important task from spirit, and to realize that she has not made any money on this venture in spirit, but is quite humble about her great work, and one day all mankind will know of this work in a short time. We bless all the light workers, and especially that fine light worker, Don Newsom, and others who are assisting my channel to get her work out there. I was denied a voice as Diana, Princess of Wales, but I am still managed to do a great deal of good for children and the underprivileged. It would behoove others to learn from my example in life and not focus so much on my accident or the way I was removed from the world stage, but rather to follow in my lead and to do whatever you can for peace in your home, your community, and your world. My love to all in a troubled time, Diana, Princess of Peace for your world, all my love. Wow, what a way to open the show. That's the energy, and I can feel Diana bringing in her beautiful, very loving vibration into this show, and we know that Diana is with us now, and I know as well that John Lennon is overlighting our show and is very excited about this debut of his new music. Bob, I wonder if we can now get into maybe some of the messages that you've had recently from John and talk about this process of working with spirit that you have. I want to say a little bit about Bob. He's a fantastic channel for spirit. He's got a great book out there called The Stars Still Shine. You can pick it up at www.thestarsstillshine.com. It's a fascinating and hilarious read about an adventure in the afterlife with his son-in-law, Michael. And John has been working on new music. He writes an e-zine called The Stars Still Shine. And I can't recommend it enough. It's just brilliant. And he's a multidimensional person. We want to welcome to our show for this debut the great Robert Murray. Bob, I'm going to ask you to go into a little bit more about your work, if you could.
Okay. I hope I can live up to that introduction.
Oh, you more than already have, Bob. I know your work.
Well, thank you very much for that. I thank you for the people on the other side, too. You're right. They are gathered around, and right now I'm seeing where they're gathered. They're gathered in a studio listening to your broadcast, or our broadcast now. And
wonderful.
Giving you thumbs up. So I that's a good sign.
Hey, thanks, Bob, for that little bit of encouragement. I needed that.
Well, I guess they knew that, too. What I have been doing is for some years now, as I've been channeling, and just recently, as you mentioned, I have been channeling music from John Lennon. Now, because of copyright problems and legal problems, I haven't said officially that they're from John Lennon. I can't really claim that because I can't prove it. Like a lot of things that we do, we can't really have proof except maybe some anecdotal proof at different times. So having said that, what I have done is said that this music was inspired by John Lennon. And what I do is I bring it through on through a computer program, a very complicated computer program for music. However, I have a lot of input for that and choosing, and they tell me what buttons to push and what dial to turn.
Okay, so that kind of explains it then a little bit more, because I figured that because I know you channel a little bit dimensionally different than I do. I simply get words and I don't actually hear a voice, but you hear a voice and you hear this music. Is that right, Bob?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
It's a very, let's say, it's a very simple process, but hard to explain. What they do, not only John Lennon, but George Harrison and others have done, is they've said, okay, now I want you to do this, 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 and this on the computer to bring this kind of music through, and we'll set the tempo, we'll do all kinds of things for you. And that's the in a nutshell is what has happened.
So they're not actually standing there pressing any buttons or anything. You're not getting any full manifestation of spirit.
Well, I'm not as I said, it's rather hard to explain.
I know.
It's not something that anybody else couldn't do, but I don't think in this, let's say, depth. What really happens is that John sends through some music, and it is also through this program I'm able to print out the actual sheets of music and things like that.
That's
so
phenomenal.
This is how
so
the
music
is produced.
Excuse me, I'm sorry I didn't hear that last statement, Bob. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, I was just saying this is how the music is produced, and it comes through, and it can also come through in sheet music. I can print
right,
it out.
Because you sent me some sheet music a while ago now.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, I want to also interject, if I may, here, that I know that this is genuine. From Bob, and I know that this is truly John, because in May of 2005, John sent me a message, and it was, and he asked me at that point to please contact Bob, that it would blow his mind, and I did. I occasionally, Bob and I send messages back and forth because Bob has sent Diana messages, and I got this message from John, and the message had to do with him asking me to please get in touch with you, and he had just sent some lyrics that were very similar to another one of his songs that he did while living. It was called, I think it was called We All Go On or something. Life Goes On, words from John Lennon and George
yes.
Harrison. Do you mind if I interject and just read that little message?
Go ahead.
Okay. So this is the first thing I got in terms of the lyrics, and I've been working a little bit collaboratively with Bob on this. Bob's doing all the music. I take no credit for that. But John asked me to channel in some of the lyrics, but I got this before I knew anything about Bob creating this music with John. This was a kind of a secret project that Bob was working on, and I think I'm bringing it up because it verifies our work together. This is just called Life Goes On. These are some of the lyrics. We sing along. We all go on. Eternal love is never gone. For love is true from me to you. From George and John, we all go on. We sing our songs, etc. So there's more to it, and then I want to read this last part. And I'm saying, Marcia, John, that's a great song, and it conveys the essence of what you were saying, both in life and what you want people to know about now, doesn't it? John, indeed, it truly does. Thank you for being my scribe for this song. I wrote it a while ago now, and George has embellished it a bit. We're working together in jam sessions now and then. I don't suppose you can carry a tune or do much with the notes. I'll get back to this on ya. Send this on to Murray. It should blow his mind, too. Love you, John. So that's how I came to find out that you were already working on this, weren't you, Bob?
Yes.
And then did you also send me a CD about a month later?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. And now you haven't really released this CD to the world yet, but John very much wants this released to the world.
Yes, and therein lies some of the problem with production and copyright laws. And I think that he recommended we look for an agent, or you did, or somebody did. We look for an agent to handle this internationally.
Well, exactly, because as John described it to me, and I have many, many messages from him, I have a small book right now that I also haven't been able to release or publish because I share the same concerns that you do, Bob, about possible copyright infringement. You know, that John is a huge, huge legend. And, you know, we are just kind of out, basically we're asking for an agent to step forth. We want to help John to get this music out in the name of world peace. We're not looking for any real monetary reward at all. And, of course, we want to honor Yoko and her feelings. And there's a huge legacy. I imagine there's rights on all the Beatles music, and we don't know the ins and outs of the legal world. So, you know, especially for Bob, we're debuting this new work from John because, as he said to me, he wants to turn people on to peace worldwide and stop this ridiculous war on terror and stop the suicide bombs. And he's even got lyrics that I remember. I was working on this project with him over the summer, just listening to Bob's CD and then channeling in the lyrics. And one of the lines was, you know, no more suicide bombs because all religions simply ban it, you know. So John has, you know, some fantastic words to go with these. But because there's no real voice, he's synthesizing this music through Bob. So anyway, Bob, you know, your work is just so admirable. And when I listen to the Lennon songs that you feel are inspired by him, I hear a lot of Imagine in there, and I hear the style. It comes through so loud and clear. I want to ask you, when you're actually channeling this music, are you just kind of working with the band in the box? Are you actually hearing this tune in your head as John's giving it to you? That's
a little of everything. What I do here is, what happens is this music comes through very quickly, almost faster than I can do any recording of it.
Yeah, I understand that because it's channeled.
So it comes through very quickly, and then I get an overall picture of what has been done, including the drums, the different instruments, the guitar, the type of instruments he uses, not the brand name so much, but the actual instruments. And so I get an overall picture of what is happening after.
Now, Bob, what was the question I was asking?
I'm enjoying you so much, my dear. I didn't know where you were.
I know. You were describing the process of channeling.
The process of channeling and but the music coming through and how it comes through. I explained that it came through. What was it? Yeah, okay. I explained that how it came through almost instantly. Then you went from there.
Right, and then you were saying that you actually kind of hear it, and then
Yeah, the instruments and so on.
Those other people on the other side are telling you what buttons to press with the band in a box, which is some kind of a synthesized computer music program, correct?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. Now, Bob, tell me, have you also got a music degree? I know you've got an English degree. You were a teacher at one time, weren't you?
I was a teacher. I guess I still am in some way.
Definitely.
Retired from teaching. And I did do not really competent in music. I was in a few choirs in my day, but that's about the limit of it.
I see. Well, your musical skills are sound to me phenomenal, but I'm no judge because, as you know, I'm an art teacher, and I'm still teaching part-time, you know, and kind of you're in the enviable position of having retired from all that craziness, you know, but, you know, I think it's interesting that Spirit chose to work with us and that we kind of work together in ways, both of us being former teachers, because I think with this great work that you're bringing through from Lennon and World Peace, this is another teaching tool, you know, and I think John, as he has said to me, that he wanted to turn people on to peace, you know, and he feels that people kind of operate by remote a lot so that they get the lyrics in their head and they tend to follow it. And I don't know if you read that message, but, you know, I was wondering what you thought about that idea.
Well, I think that John and, of course, Diana are driven, as are a lot of people that want to promote peace. And they're trying to get through the, I wouldn't necessarily call it a hard shell, but John said, look, people have formed a callus over their brain as far as information is concerned, information about peace and suffering. They formed a callus, like over a wound. It's too much to bear. But if you take it a little bit at a time, if you take the information a little bit at a time, a little bit of it at a time, then what you can do is help a little bit at a time. Anything little, anything small, but start.
Right.
That was his message to me.
Well, you know, I know you have recent messages from John. You read one to me, I think, when we spoke for the first time last week, and I was wondering if you had that one to share?
Yes, I do, if you want to bear with me.
I'd love to hear that again, because I thought it was really powerful, and then I'd like to share some of my other messages from John and get the court. We actually, people that are just tuning into our program, this is the Forum for World Peace, we're about to feature another message from John Lennon, channeled through Bob Murray, and then I'm going to read a few other of my messages from him. We actually got one within hours of each other. Bob called me and he said he had a message from John. I said, oh, I just heard from John, too. So, Bob, if you could do us the honor of reading that message.
Well, thank you. John is quite a very busy lad, as he would say. Now, this came through on December the 2nd this year, 2005, and he's got it titled as simply as To Murray from John. And this is from John right now, and I'm quoting from what he told me. I'm not religious in a conventional way. I believe in God. How could you not when its wonders are all around us? I've experimented with different religions and different ways of living, and now death. I am most upset when us human beings decide to wage war on other human beings. In the old days, before my time, humans used to kill each other, invade other lands, enslave people, and behave in a terrible way. Now we have antiseptic wars, where the originators of the invasion sit back in relative comfort and have their armies do the terrible deeds. We now have become very good at getting out the publicity to justify the wars. Any offensive war is not justified, period. Any form of offensive war is not and cannot be justified. For heaven's sake and for earth's sake, give peace a chance. I've been sending Murray some songs that I've put together. He ran into a snag with getting out the music and needs an agent. I don't see any problems from where I am, but I do remember some very hot arguments about getting some of our songs out to the public. there always seemed to be some log thrown across to make us, in brackets, the Beatles, take our time. Murray tells me that he's going to put the Lennon music on his website and make some kind of arrangement for people to listen to it without paying. I don't think that's going to work, but I'm willing to do my part. Keep it in your heads that it takes more than money to promote world peace. Maybe the music could remind you to do something about peace. You know, even a short prayer would help. I guess I'm getting mellow, although George Harrison seems to think that I've gone cranky lately. I'm willing to wait for Murray to get the music straightened out. Although I'm not one to explain my actions to anyone, I want people to understand where I'm coming from. I want you to feel my frustration. I'm not expecting peace to come over the world tomorrow, but I do want to see a real start towards peace. I've had some heavy arguments with Lady Diana, and she is a lady. We do agree that there should be peace in the world, but can't agree on the way to do it. She concentrates on children, and I want to do it through music. We agreed that all legitimate means to get world peace has a place. She is so intense, I think she's going to burst into flames at any moment. I'm not, of course. I'm calm, cool, and laid back. Not. I heard a story about a man, a real cool man, who spent some of his time in jail because he refused to pay his taxes. He was referring to Thoreau.
Thoreau, who wrote
on Golden Pond, or not on Golden, on Walden.
Walden, yeah, great.
Okay. His country was warring against their natives. He didn't want his money to go to the war, so he didn't pay his taxes to the government. Maybe that's a dumb idea, but at least he felt he was doing something to promote peace. What if everybody felt the same way he did? What if everybody withheld their taxes and paid for a war? That paid for a war. Now, that was a question, not a suggestion, of course. There are other ways you can help. Think, then do something in a constructive way. With love, 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 peace, 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 John.
That is such a powerful message. That is just wonderful. You know, and I have a newer message from John that I'd also like to share here that I got just yesterday when I was planning the program, our debut, because basically we are honoring John Lennon for this debut show, and we are presenting his new music from the other side through Robert Murray and some of the messages that we both received from him. So you wouldn't mind if I read this message, would you, Bob?
I wouldn't mind.
Okay, very
good. I don't mind at all.
This is called John Lennon Speaks, Rock and Roll the Beatles Once Again. And this was channeled in on the anniversary of his tragic death some 25 years ago. And he actually, in this message, you know, normally I just get words from spirit, but in this particular case, he kind of came into me full body form and showed me what he looked like. And then I began to get the words. So he gave me an impression, if you will, a mental impression of how he looked. I didn't actually see him standing there in spirit, but all I can say is what an honor. So without further ado, I'm going to read this. Hey, yeah, it's me, John. I'm showing you how I look now. You see, no scars, no fear. My hair is shorter and I'm clean shaven. I do look every bit myself, but in spirit, not in form. We're quite excited to be on your show, Marcia. Don't worry too much about Yoko. She's all for world peace, and when she does hear from you, you know she's going to love you. We wish to say thanks to all my fans for all the good times. We want to ask people to open their hearts to Bob Murray's music and to say that it's really mine through Bob, and to say that your lyrics are really mine through you. Your lyrics were good, but not complete. We hope to do more with you and rock and roll the Beatles once again. Imagine peace, imagine love, capital. Soon your world will eventually get this message, and we'll all be on our way to ascension. Ciao. John. P.S. Diana says to say she loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, it's been an incredible journey with John, has it not? Bob, I wonder, during this time that we have together, if you could go into a little bit more about your book, The Stars Still Shine and Afterlife. Well, you know, I'm going to admit to our audience that we've had a lot of interference right now with this show from our electronic equipment, and I know I've been on other shows. I was on Barry Eaton's show in Australia, and we were taping the first time, and all this interference started to come right in, and it was just so horrible. We almost had to quit the interview, and we've just gotten kind of attacked from this bizarre bunch of sounds, that just horrible screeching noises. So, you know, I think this happens when you have powerful channels bringing in, because the way that I feel I channel, and Bob, I want to ask you too, is when you're channeling, it's almost like an electrical feeling. It's almost like we act as lightning rods for a spirit. Is that how you think of yours?
Well, among other things, yes. The other thing that I was taught, I took a few lessons in my time to learn how to do this, and I was told that what we do is when we open up a channel, is we have maybe hundreds of other spirits and entities watching and listening, and they're not all good dudes, as they say, or good people,
yeah,
or
exactly.
Good spirits. They some of them are pretty mischievous, shall we say, to give them the benefit of the doubt. So this is probably what happens when we have interference. I've had many, many times, both physically and in photography and everything else, where I've had interference. So,
I just attribute it to your wonderful attunement to spirit and mind, too. I know with really powerful channels, this can happen. We can blow out equipment. I saw John Edwards on TV, and he was interviewing with Anderson Cooper one time, and he just fizzled their equipment, you know. So whatever we're doing to poor Don's equipment, we're not doing it, and our guides are very much in the light, but we're asking the people on the other side that are working with us on this fine program to have these negative influences removed immediately. it was incredible.
Yeah,
so,
that was a good start.
you know, it's interesting, too. I take it all with a grain of salt because it's all confirmation for this great work that you're doing, Bob. I wonder if you could maybe go into a little bit about your great book, The Stars Still Shine, and maybe highlight a message or so from Diana, if you happen to have that available. Or maybe you'd like to focus on your e-zine and tell us a little bit about that. I know you recently channeled a wonderful message from, JFK Jr., is that right?
Yes, John Kennedy Jr. Is one of our correspondents over on the other side.
He writes a regular column, then, for the e-zine.
Yes, he does, in the form usually of interviews with people over on the other side. And he comes through with some very interesting interviews. But getting back to the book, the book started back in 1997. My son-in-law was killed in an automobile accident, and right the day after, he started coming back and talking to me. He knew I was psychic before, but he never thought he would be able to use or would have to use my services, so to speak. He came through to me the day after he died, and he
wow.
said, look, Bob, if you, or Father Murray, he called me Father Murray at that time, not because I was religious, but because every Sunday I would call up to their house and say, it's your father calling, and he said, Lynn, my daughter, it's your father calling, Father Murray. So that's how I got the title. So that's what sort of stuck. Anyway,
because
he said,
Diana calls your Father Murray all the time.
Well,
a lot of people.
It's not a religious
right.
title. although
not a priest, so don't be afraid, people listening out there. Don't have to confess your sins or anything.
Okay. I won't excommunicate anybody. What happened is that he came through, and he wanted to comfort Lynn. He wanted to keep in contact with the family. So what he did is every night he would talk to me. I would take notes. He's come in through about 5 o'clock at night in the evening, and I would take notes, and then I would call our daughter, who was quite a few miles away, and tell her what Michael said. Michael's name. So this went on for about a year, every night for a year. And we decided then that there was too much information about the other side to just keep it in the family. So we put it into a book. And that's the first issue,
the first publication.
Of two. Where the other one, the second book is ready to almost to come out probably in the beginning of January or February. Probably an e-book first.
And what's the title of your new e-book, Bob?
Well, it's The Stars Still Shine, Book 2.
Oh, fantastic.
The Journey Continues. So.
I'm sorry, the subtitle again?
Okay, the subtitle was The Stars Still Shine. That's the title. Book 2, The Journey Continues.
Oh, wonderful. The Journey Continues. So I didn't even know you were producing another book. I knew you were releasing your e-zine, The Stars Still Shine e-zine. Now, if people want to order this book, how do they get a hold of it, Bob?
Well, the best thing to do is to go to our website, the starstillshine.com website, and that will give you all the information, as well as music. You open it up and keep your volume maybe not up too loud, but keep your sound on, and then you'll have music.
I want to mention that... that this book is a fabulous read, would make a wonderful Christmas gift. It's reasonably priced, it's beautifully illustrated, and it really gives the true experience of what a soul goes through when they die and go to heaven, and what really goes on the other side. And it's a fabulous read because it's hilarious. We've got the adventures of Michael in there, and Michael kind of in his progress over there ascends to a new level and is relating to the entertainment side of heaven. So he eventually meets up with Princess Di and Elvis and has all these fantastic adventures with these... You channel almost every famous person I can think of, Bob, that's gone to spirit.
Well, Michael drops a lot of names, but he actually meets a lot of people. So
yeah.
People
and
have told
the
me...
entertainment
that,
section of heaven,
does anybody ever talk to somebody that's not famous? And I said, well, yeah, occasionally. We have a few people that aren't famous or weren't famous, but this is Michael's reality. This is Michael's trip.
Now,
it doesn't mean that anybody or everybody is going to take the same trip.
Yeah.
It just means that he did that, and he's giving a very, time after time, gives descriptions of what it's like, what it's actually like over there for him.
People really, Diana has said in her messages, especially to her sons, that when people get to heaven, they don't sit around strumming harps and listening to angels all day. And in fact, I know that through this work that Princess Diana's done for me, which is vast and extensive concerning Middle East diplomacy, that people are able to actually walk and talk and think and eat and sleep and travel, and they do a lot of what they do by thought. Am I correct on that, Bob?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So,
this has to be developed as well.
Uh-huh.
But people do that. They do thought travel. They do, they can go from one place to another at the speed of thought. However, as Michael said, he didn't want to do that at the beginning because he didn't know where he'd end up.
Yeah, could be a deal. Well, I know that I've read The Adventures of Umbart. Umbart, for our listeners that have never heard of your work, is a place in the afterlife that represents another dimensional planet. And this may sound very far out to some of our listeners, but the people that are on blogging service know that there is kind of an interaction going on between our solar system and other planets throughout. So there are beings of light from other places. I can accept that. But this Ambar series that you've written is kind of an adventure with Michael, and they time travel over to Ambar. Is that right, Bob?
Yes, they travel, thought travel over to Ambard, which is the directions to get there are is to head for Orion and hang a right.
That is hilarious.
It is a very, I don't know if it's accurate, but it's a very vivid description of the people.
One thing I've noticed about Ambar in your e-magazine, which is a fantastic read, by the way, all you listeners out there, you want to read something really great, get a hold of Bob's e-magazine on his website, The Stars Still Shine e-zine. It's fantastic. But one thing I noticed about Ambar right away is that, A, they don't seem to have any wars there, and B, they seem to be very peace-loving. They all seem to be able to get along. There doesn't seem to be a lot of this national division, so in a subtle way, I kind of get that with Ambard in particular, it's a teaching for us Earthlings to kind of learn
well,
to get along.
They were asked at one time, the Ambardans were asked at one time if they didn't want to come to Earth again or talk to the Earthlings, and they said no. They're scared. They're very badly frightened about what we do on Earth. They don't want to visit us anymore.
Yeah, so they came and they settled someplace. I remember reading in one of the messages.
Well, in the there's a series of epics and descriptions of oral history, and in that there was back in their history there was a trip to Earth that took many generations to get here, and apparently they landed. I believe it. They believe it's a very large island, and it would have been Ireland.
That's just phenomenal.
The southern part of Ireland, and that's where they went from there. There's certainly their music. The Irish music is very, very similar to the Umbarton music.
And only you would know, Bob.
Well, okay, we have to take some things on faith.
I love Irish music, and I love Ireland. I want to go back really soon. I'm getting a vibration that I may be going in this next year. But, you know, I want to say to our listening audience, even if this sounds too far out for you to even manage at this point, it's worth the read because Bob's work is entertaining on a whole nother level. And it's so well written that whether it's fact, you know, fiction or fact, doesn't matter. It's extremely well written. And Bob, I guess you were an English teacher at one time, so you've got that command of the language there. So.
Well, I'm writing in spite of that.
Yeah, in spite of the handicap of having taught so many years. I know. So I wonder what else. Oh, we were going to pick up on the message that you had recently from JFK, and he's been working on an interview, I guess, with John Lennon. So since we're honoring and giving honor and tribute to John, I wonder if you have that handy for us, Bob.
Well, yes. I just happened to see I anticipate some things once in a while.
And you're psychic, of course.
So. Oh, yeah. Well, don't hold that against me. But there was an interview last night with John Kennedy, John is our special correspondent. Now, he is a special correspondent to the Stars Still Shine magazine. Now, just one word about the magazine. This was a request. The magazine started, the e-magazine started, because the people on the other side wanted an outlet for their writing. The different authors, writers, commentators, and so on, wanted an outlet. So we created the Stars Still Shine magazine. And so we have various writers contributing, everybody from Mark Twain to Ernest Hemingway to Stephen Crane to, Mark Twain, of course, a whole lot of people. And
I've read Twain's work, and it sounds every bit like Twain. It's phenomenal. Just great. Sorry for interrupting. Go ahead, Bob.
The interview from John. It's only about 2 pages. It's not that long. I'll try to put on my best acting voice and get it for you. This is December 10th, 2005, 11:43 p.m. in the evening, by John F. Kennedy, Jr., special to the Stars Shine, Star Still Shine magazine. And here's what John says. I met John Lennon a few days ago. He was moving about the park as though he had lost something. He was stooping over, searching the grass. At first, I didn't recognize him. As I moved closer, the figure and the face looked familiar. I approached him and introduced myself. He looked up from his search. He is John L. And perhaps I'll just change that to Lennon. And I am John Lennon. Ah, yes, you are the young one. You have your family's good looks. I would have recognized the Kennedy look wherever you said your, whatever you said your name was or not. I'm also a John. John, I recognized you. May I help you find whatever you're looking for? Lennon, I'm afraid it's no use. I dropped one of my favorite pens, and I suppose I'll have to let it go. John, did it have some significance? I suppose it did, or you wouldn't be searching for it. Lennon, it was my lucky pen. I used it to write my new songs. I do feel lost without it. I know that's all on my mind, but... John, I hesitate to ask this question, but did it have some monetary value? Could it be replaced? Because if you want a replacement, I'll give you my fountain pen. Lennon, nothing has money value over here, just sentimental value, as I said. Thanks for the offer. Please don't ask where I saw it last. John, it's very tempting to ask that question, isn't it? We all try to be helpful, but really just irritate the person who has the loss. Lennon, right. The last thing the loser needs is irritation. Could be the basics for a song, if I could find that pen to write it out. John, how about I help you look for your pen? Do I dare ask you what it looks like? Lennon, very ordinary, just a pen with a history attached. Look for the long tail of history and we'll find it again. John, so I'm to look for the long trail of history and I'll find the pen? Lennon, everything has a history, even a pen. Could it be that we've come across a formula for writing some songs? John, hey, we could be the Half Beatles and play music again. We should get new pens. That won't take too long. Lennon, the Half Beatles. We should make a new gene pool because there are two Beatles on Earth. Half are in heaven. What notes are they worth? John, I could be the third over here. I seem to have a problem, though, when I carry some notes. They all stick together in my throat. Are you still there? Okay.
It is
Lennon.
Were you finished, Bob?
Pardon me?
Were you finished?
No, not quite.
Please finish. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay. John, I could be third over here. I seem to have a problem, though, when I carry some notes. They all stick together, and I can't empty my throat. Lennon, ah, you can turn the pages on the music we wrote. Maybe we should start looking for my pen and stop rhyming. John. Mm-hmm. I found a pen. Is this one yours? How's that for timing? Lennon, I'm going to find a beautiful girl to give you a hug. John, I'm happily married to Carolyn, but if you must find a beautiful woman, don't let me stop you. Why would you look for a beautiful woman? Lennon, because you're too good-looking for me to give you a hug. People will talk, you know. That is my pen. John, a simple thanks is enough, John. Lennon, thanks, John. John, you're welcome, John. Lennon, would you like to come to my flat and see some of the songs that I've written recently? John, I'd like that. I understand you've been sending some music to Father Murray. How's that going? Lennon, it's hard to tell. I see it from where I am, and I wonder about the problems he's having. Maybe I have a simple view because I don't see the problems the way he does. John, what are the problems? I find it helpful to list problems, then work on them one by one. I guess I could call it a problem-solving system. It doesn't always work the first time, but sometimes you can nibble at the edges and accomplish something. Lennon. The problems are to do with production and distribution, not with the music. Murray feels that the quality isn't good enough to get the music to the public. I don't worry about production, but I understand what he's going through. I have to let him take care of that end of things, John. So the problems aren't directly your problems, Lennon. Well, I can't do anything about it from this side, so I have to have patience. Maybe that's the problem. I don't have the patience. I have this need to get the peace messages out, John. I have the feeling they will get out, but maybe at a later date, Lennon. Perhaps you're right. John, let's go look at your songs, Lennon. Right. I have discovered this new power drink. I think you'll like it. I've been stashing away two in the cooler. Now, John Kennedy, how have you been? That's the end.
That was great, Bob. That is truly insightful. I mean, you've got all that situational humor worked in there, too. There's just no way that you could be making this up.
Well, thank you, I think.
Yeah, it's great stuff, really. Well, I want to remind our audience right now that the music that you've been hearing throughout this broadcast, the first song was written by John for Diana. And I'm going to say that it was called The Amazing Diana. Is that correct, Bob?
Close enough.
Okay. And then give me the correct title, if you would.
Well, I think it's the Remarkable Diana.
That's it. The Remarkable Diana was the first song we heard. The second song we heard was something about Nebula.
Remarkable Nebula.
The Remarkable Nebula.
Which is the, actually, according to John, he said it's the same song, Robert.
Uh-huh.
It's the same song, but different instruments.
Yeah, because Remarkable Nebula is on your CD. And
yes.
The way I've been working with this whole project is like, I haven't channeled the words in for Remarkable Nebula, but I listen to your CD, and then I basically tune in to John, and then he just, the lyrics flow through me. So that's how I've been working this project, but that's one of them that I don't know, but I've got some fantastic lyrics for other songs like Radical Dolphin, and it sounds every bit John Lennon, you know, but he was the world's greatest lyricist. I mean, Diana had said in her first book with me, Princess Diana's Message of Peace, which was my book published a couple years ago. It's now out of print. There are only a few books of that left, but in that message, she said that John Lennon was so great, and he influenced the magnetic grid of Earth with his wonderful songs and brought all to a new understanding of love and peace. And then, of course, in other messages I've had from John, he said to me that he felt that the world wasn't ready for his message, but they were ready for mine, and that both of these messages were about love. Now, the first time I heard from John was maybe a couple of years ago, but anyway, I'll have more time maybe to read one more message, but I wanted to stress that these musical songs are also programmed somehow into your website so that if people want to tune in to John's tunes and other tunes that you've worked with from the other side, you're working with some great musical greats. Who else are you working with, Bob?
Well, on the website itself, there is a list of Michael and the Band.
Right, yeah.
And in that, there are some songs by John. Or we call them inspired by John Lennon, but I think you'll recognize the way they're written.
The Lennon touch
is all throughout. But that's what the people can do now. They can go to the website and go on this musical tour.
That's fabulous. So I want to turn people on to that. And then the third song that we're featuring, and this is going to be played at the end of the broadcast, is called Traveling Through Botswana. And this
yes.
is one of George's recent releases. Is that right, Bob?
That's right. George Harrison.
This has a wonderful beat, and we hope that you all, you know, listen to it. It's really great. And, you know, we want to say that if there are any musical type agents or literary agents out there, both Bob and I are looking for either a literary or musical agent that can help with these creative endeavors from people from the other side who basically, Bob and I have been doing this work just because we've been asked to do it by Spirit, and we haven't made any money on this at all. I haven't made any on my book except, you know, an occasional sale. Basically, I'm trying to get the message out there that'll save America, and, you know, I'm looking for maybe a literary agent that can raise my book to a new level, and I think Bob is looking for maybe a literary or a musical agent or both that will help him get the music out there, get the rights all straightened out so that no one is offended in all of this, and, you know, this is done with the utmost care for Yoko's feelings and for her to recognize somehow we want to get this out that we feel that this is genuinely John, and we're not doing any kind of copycat work like other bands have done in the past, and I know that greatly offends her, but this is something that we know is genuine and from John, and it's in the name of world peace. So with that thought, you know, we're just going to put that out there. I wonder, Bob, if you might be able to close with maybe one more message from Diana. Do you have the Diana messages with you today?
I think I have some. I just happen to have some. My son James, message from Diana. Yeah, he puts it all through here for me. Okay.
Maybe that one from 2003 where Diana talks about her butler and she talks about me or something like that would work. I don't know. Whatever you want to read is fine with me. I know you've got a lot. But these messages...
I don't have that one with me.
Okay. Let me see if I've got one from you then in my book, and I'll highlight that. And then while I'm reading this, maybe you could find one more message, Bob. And...
Well, I do have one. This is about the... let's see, the tsunami.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. All right. I am looking for your message. Why don't you read the tsunami message, and then maybe we'll have time, or maybe we won't, as far as the other message. But these messages have been...
Play it by ear, as they say.
Yeah, okay.
This was the December 30th, 2004. And it was a message from Diana through me. Bless you and your family during this season of remembering the Lord Jesus. It has come to my attention that there is a big misunderstanding about death. Actually, there are several misunderstandings about death. And although I can't get inside the minds and psyche of the individual still alive, I can explain some things from my perspective. Different religions have to account for birth and death, and the different religions have well-established rules for death and dying. I won't explain or try to explain religions or their rules. I cannot think of any one religion or belief system that denies death of the physical body. Over here in my dimension, I view life as a continuation. True, the physical body dies, but the soul lives on. I know now that as a fact... that as a fact, but cannot prove it to you who are reading this. I could give out bits of information to prove my existence, but that is beside the point or points. The recent tsunami, the mudslides, the AIDS epidemic, the wars declared and undeclared, the murder of children, the production and distribution of landmines, the enslavement of children, and so on, seems to have no end. It is very easy to throw up one's hands in despair. I can understand your feelings of helplessness. I want to explain what happens when one child dies. We can relate to one child rather than millions because millions have become statistics, not the individual. Yesterday, I visited the local children's hospital. It now has a name of the DR, short for Diaper Ranch, a respectful name for children's hospitals, a name given by Michael. Lying on the gurney was a three-year-old child named Marissa. She had just crossed over, died, as a result of drowning during the recent tidal wave tsunami. The staff were extremely busy taking care of the recent arrivals and were depending on volunteers like myself to welcome and explain what happened. Language is not a problem. I didn't suddenly become an expert in languages, but could talk with anyone regardless of the language they spoke on Earth. That holds true for any of the staff and volunteers. I knew her name was Marissa because that was the name in her aura. You see a lot of the person's aura, including family connections, names, and health. Poor Marissa was in a state of shock. She was past grief and had retreated into herself, the way a turtle goes back into its shell. She either wouldn't talk or couldn't talk in the physical. I contacted her mind and was able to get her story. On Earth, she lived with her mother and father, lived very close to the sea, and her father made a living by fishing. The family had a small house by the shore, and the father shared a boat with his neighbors. On that day of death, Marissa was being carried around by her mother and was still nursing. One minute, Marissa was content and nursing. The next moment, she was torn from her mother's arms and was churned over and over until blackness came over her. There she was lying on the gurney, not knowing anything about what had happened. Sometimes instinct and basic human contact is the best you can do. I picked her up and held this little tyke, this tiny girl, in my arms. I just held her tight and crooned to her. My tears dropped on her face, and as I brushed them away with her blanket, I was rewarded with a beautiful smile from Marissa. I really cried then. I had to hold her out of teardrop range, but managed to make eye contact. I looked around the ward and saw many other volunteers and staff doing what I was doing. That is how it is done. We take care of one child at a time. Later, we try to match up parents with children or get them foster parents. This matching process does not happen automatically. It takes hours of work by people who match, and not every match is successful. All types of people help at the hospital, yet others find it very difficult dealing with a welcoming phase. To each his own, I say. The staff at the DR, and indeed at all the many hospitals, the staff and volunteers do not lay blame, for they are long past that, but are extremely upset when one child crosses. They do their best, but often have a sense of being overwhelmed with the sheer numbers of children that arrive every day. It is never a kindness to end human life. Each soul has something to contribute, no matter what age. Love and peace, Diana.
That's really a lovely message and shows her great love for the children, both on this side and on the other side. It's a touching moment there with the tears falling onto the cheeks of the child, isn't it? You know, I did find the message, but I'm seeing that it's extremely long, the extraordinary message from Diana through Robert Murray that's featured in my book. It's all about the letter from her butler and asking to spread the message of peace around. So I want to conclude this show with a few reminders for our listeners of what we're going to be doing next week. With the Forum for World Peace with Marcia McMahon, we're going to be featuring a lot of the world peace messages from Diana and a lot of her prophecy. She, in fact, knew about the tsunami before it occurred, and I'm going to be covering that and current messages from her that deal with earth changes and prophecy, and, of course, emphasizing her peace messages. And we're going to have another special guest next week by the name of Homi, who has a prophetic gift as well. And I want to thank you again, Bob Murray, for coming on, and remind all of our listeners to go to www.thestarsstillshine.com. And also visit my website at www.angelfire.com/mb2/Diana_speaks, Diana Speaks to the World, where you can pick up With Love from Diana, or you can pick up the book from Bob. It's great reading, and we want to also thank you for listening in to this great new music from John Lennon, and I believe he's bringing through a message right now that I'd like to just say. He's sending all his love to everyone worldwide and asking that all understand this is genuinely his work, and he wishes an agent to step forward and to get this great work out where we can rock and roll again and really turn people on to peace. So all I'm saying is give peace a chance. And with that, we say God love you to everyone. And we hope you have enjoyed the debut show of the Forum for World Peace. If you're a peace worker, we want to hear from you and what you're doing about world peace. If you're a light worker with messages, we want to hear from you. email me anytime at dianaspeaks.com, excuse me, at hotmail.com. This is Marcia McMahon. I'm closing off for the first show. Thank you again, Bob, so much. It was really a pleasure to have had you.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blog and service.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.